chapter 2, 1 John 2. We're going through the book of John, 1 John, that is. First John 2 and verses 3 through 6. You follow along as I read. 1 John 2, 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this privilege we have to open the Word of God once again. We thank you for all that you've done for us, the good luncheon you've provided through the many hands and the service this morning. Thank you for our visitors. Pray for your blessing upon us now as we consider the Word of God and look into it and try to understand your message to us. Pray for illumination from the Spirit of God as we open the Word of God, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in John's Gospel here, he sets forth several tests for the believer. Basically, the tests are moral tests, social tests, and a doctrinal test. Moral test means to keep the Word of God. Social is having love for brethren, and doctrinal is having the right view on Christ and the rest of the Bible. And so these three tests keep running through this epistle. The moral, the social, the doctrinal. In this section, we want to consider the what we call the moral test, or keeping the Word of God, obeying the Scripture, and so on. Now, we find that the word know shows up quite a bit in 1 John. We'll talk more about that in verse 3. But all these verses are heading towards the tail end of the book in for chapter 5, 1 John 5. verses 11 and following. Let's notice this, 1 John 5, 11. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you. But what did John write? He wrote 1 John, the book he's writing here. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So he's writing to believers, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And he goes on, talks about the confidence. The confidence has to do with prayer. But we want to stop here at verse 13. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. So the Lord wants believers to know they have eternal life. All right. Now, in between chapter 1 and chapter 5 is chapter 3. Let's look here in 3, 19 and 20, because this is really what John is trying to deal with. 1 John 3, 19 and 20. In fact, he says in verse 18, he addresses his group here, my little children. Verse 19, he says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Now look at these two verses here. For the believer, we come to the Lord as a sinner. We've been convicted of our sin. We realize our need of salvation. And so somewhere in our life, as a repentant sinner, we cry out to the Lord for the first time, Lord, have mercy on me, save me. I'm receiving Christ as Savior, some sort of phraseology like that. But there's an experience in our life when we cry out to the Lord. And the Lord came to save sinners. So when the repentant sinner cries out, the Lord is faithful. He saves sinners. Now, sometimes sinners who've been in deep sin and so on, the burden of sin is lifted. And so they have an experience that is very overwhelming. Other times, when sin is lifted, it's maybe more of a intellectual study or understanding. So there is some sort of experience of salvation, but we have to be careful. We don't just gauge our whole salvation on experience. There's truth that's involved here. There's truth that's involved. Sometimes the bigger experience of our salvation comes later on when we begin to recognize, wait a minute, there is a change. Something did happen. All right. Now, with the believer, however, we still have the old nature, and we still have a heart here. So in verse 19, he says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." There are times in the believer's life when we, as saved sinners, we nevertheless sin. Nobody here's gotten too far along this week without sinning. We're sinners. We're saved sinners. And when we sin, we have a conscience. We are convicted of that sin. And as we begin to examine ourselves and so on, it may be that we condemn ourselves. We're saying, how is it I'm saved? I'm such a wicked person. Oh, I know I trusted the Lord back then, but as I examine myself, and we're going to get to the Lord's Supper where we examine ourselves, we come to the conclusion, I am a wicked sinner. I have sinful thoughts. I have sinful behavior. I sin, and before we know it, we can be, our heart can condemn us to the place where we're saying, I can't possibly have salvation, can I? I mean, I'm a wicked sinner. But the difference between us now and before is we're a saved sinner. But it may be in the believer's life from time to time, our heart condemns us. But notice what John says, even if our heart condemns us as a believer, you see, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And the know here is absolute knowledge. So the Lord knows. He knows our heart. He knows that we realize we're sinners and that we do fall short on a regular basis. And he knows that. And so what John is indicating here is that for all believers, there's times in our life when we're wondering about ourselves. Did I really get saved? Now, one of the ways to overcome this to a certain degree is to try to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. And we examine ourselves. So this is what John is talking about, I believe, here in 1 John 5, to believers, where he says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And we know that we have eternal life when, I believe, as John lays out here, we begin to examine the various tests that he gives us, and we pass the test. Even though, from time to time, our heart may condemn us about some sin. Now, when we do get under conviction about sin, as a believer, we have 1 John 2. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but for the sins of the world. And that's based on 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So the believer sins. We as believers, we sin. When we sin, we need to ask the Lord for forgiveness when we're conscious of that. And it may be sometimes we sin, and then it's later on that we are convicted over that. But we do have 1 John to utilize when we sin. But there may be times in our life when we realize that how wicked we are and our heart condemns us. So the Lord knows us, but we are to know this. And so he gives us an ongoing practical book to help us in our believer's life. So with that as a background, let's go back here to verse 3, 1 John 2, 3. He uses language here that almost looks like it's repetitive and unnecessary. But he says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We know that we know him. Now, the same word for know is used here. It has to do with experiential knowledge. But the tenses are different. Hereby we do know, this present tense, I presently know that I have known him. That's really his perfect tense there. So I presently know that I have had a relationship in the past, that I have known the Lord. That's what he's saying. Hereby we know presently that we have known him. Have known him. Now, there's a contingency. If we keep his commandments. Now, the tenses in John are extremely important. And even not knowing Greek, you can still see these in the King James translation. We keep, we know. We do know, we keep. So, knowing and keeping run parallel as present tenses. If we are keeping the Word of God by regular obedience of the Word of God, we are knowing that we have known Him. So see the parallel? And so there is a contingency. Now, our salvation is not based on works, obviously. It's based on His work in us. But when we come to Him as a repentant sinner, then He expects repentant sinners to begin to obey the Lord, right? We obey the Lord as fruit of our salvation. Not to get the salvation, but it's the fruit of salvation. So he's talking here to believers. Verse 2:1, my little children. All right. So first of all, John makes the assertion. Hereby we do know, present tense, that we have known him, perfect tense, in the past and still know him, if we presently keep his commandments. So salvation is not something where long time ago, I believed on the Lord, and that's about all I've ever thought about. You know, something happened way back then, and, you know, that's about it. Or how's your life been since then? Well, you know, I don't know, but I believed on the Lord once. I got saved back then, and that's all that matters. No, at the time you get saved, there ought to be you ought to have a history of your growing, but in the history of your growing, there's going to be spiritual ups and downs. And you need to realize that, spiritual ups and downs. But when you meet one of these downs and your heart's condemning you, you need to realize, wait a minute, there's sin in my life. I know about that. So let's exercise 1 John 1:9. Get our hearts right, and our heart doesn't condemn us anymore. Amen. But God knows. He knows the struggles that we go through as believers. So here's, first of all, the assertion. But to say, yeah, I got saved 20 years ago, but not much has happened in my life since then. Well, you're not keeping, so how can you possibly be knowing? You follow that? All right, so first of all, there's the assertion. Secondly, there's the antithesis. This is the opposite. He that saith, I know him, present tense, and keepeth, present tense, not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So here is the antithesis to verse 3, the assertion. And the point here is that this is the corollary, you might say, or the converse, that if you're not keeping his word by obeying his word, then how are you knowing him? How can you possibly have a knowing relation without obeying him? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. So, are you a liar? Are you saying, I've been saved back then, but my life doesn't show any fruit of obedience? Then you're a liar. That's what Scripture says. And liars don't have the truth in them. Truth is not in you. Now, with that in mind, let's look back to what John said in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We talked about this verse a little bit this week in our class. John 17:6. John 17:6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Here, once again, the Lord is indicating that the Father gave him men. These men turn out to be the ones who keep the Word of God. So we can look at this any way you want to, but if you're actively obeying Scripture, now there's a lot of Scripture to obey, but if you're actively obeying what you know in Scripture, then this would be evidence that the Father gave you. But if you're in rebellion to Scripture, you're rejecting the Scripture, you reject the Word of God and so on, then where is there any knowledge or assurance of knowledge that you're a believer? So this is a very sober verse. And it's time for us to examine ourselves. Now, remember, this is not to say, okay, I'm worried here. I better start working real hard and do this and do this and do this in a type of a work salvation effort. That's not what it's talking about. No, but is there a outflowing of God's redemption in your life where all of a sudden you have an inclination, I want to obey the Word of God. I want to live for the Lord. I want to go to church. I want to give Him faithfully. I want to this and that and so on. That's an outflowing. It's a spiritual outflowing. That's what it should be. And you begin to examine yourselves that way. Not by getting all worked up and saying, well, if I do this and do this and do this, I must be saved. No, that's not it. So this is a sober verse. But John is dealing with significant topics here, to be sure. The Lord wants believers to know. He wants repentant sinners who continually sin. He wants them to know they have salvation. And that's our lot. We can't help but to sin. If you think being a Bible Baptist church, you're not a sinner, you're wrong. This place is filled with sinners. And I know firsthand. But we're sinners. But there is a remedy. There's a remedy. Now, we are to grow in our sanctification. There should be a place of growth. And for the believer, just like infants who toss off certain infantile behavior and they get older, we as well should toss off some of the infantile behavior. And usually this would be the external sins. And then the internal sins are really the bigger ones, the sin of attitude and heart. This is really the biggest struggle that we have. But here we see the antithesis, the assertion, first of all, then the antithesis. Then thirdly, let's notice in verse 5, there is the affirmation. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. Keepeth his word. Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So, keepeth his word, once again, present tense. And in verily, this means for sure, truth, verily, is the love of God perfected. So God's love for us is perfected, and then we begin to love, because this love is going to come out in the next section that has to do with social relationship. Do we love the brethren? That's another big issue here. Do we love the brethren? And so the love of God for us then works out in our love for others. It's interesting for you Greek students, the word perfected there is a perfect tense. And so the love has been and is continually. The love is perfected. The Lord starts His love in us and it begins to grow and grow and grow. And so we develop a love for others as a believer. Now, this is going to be the social test, which we haven't even gotten to, because those that hate their brother indicate they haven't ever experienced the love of God in their life. But that's the next section here. But here he's talking about the love of God is perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. So we can know that. All right, so there's the affirmation. Then there's the application. The application, verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, but himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Here's the application. If you're abiding in him, you ought to walk. In other words, if positionally you are a saint, you ought to live a saintly life. Now, you don't live a saintly life to become a saint, but if you're a saint, you ought to live a saintly life. In other words, there ought to be some sort of sanctification coming out in your life, some sort of a growth. Maybe this would be in the area of starting to study the Word of God, increasing prayer life, being faithful in church, some of these basic things that the Bible clearly commands here. And so we start growing in these areas. Certainly it's connected with the Word of God. As he mentions the truth back there and his commandments in verse 3 and so on. But this is the life. He that saith he abideth in him. So if we're abiding in the Lord, if that's our testimony, then we ought to walk like that. There ought to be a demonstration that I'm abiding in the Lord. There's the ought. And that comes with regard to us. We do have responsibility to obey and to work with the Lord in our sanctification. So we ought to walk, he says, even as he walked. Now, the walking theme was big back there in chapter 1. And it continues throughout the whole book here. But it comes down to this. How is our walk since the time we've had that profession of faith? Has there been a change? Are we walking in truth? Do we have a love for truth? Do we want to obey the Lord and so on? So John and the Lord through John, recognizes sinners have an old nature, but we also have a new nature. At some point, this new nature ought to shine through occasionally. It ought to shine through. Where is this new nature? You've got a new nature? Then there ought to be some manifestation of it. Oh, your heart knows you've got the old nature. And others around you know you've got the old nature. So you don't have to worry about the old nature shining through. But how about that new nature starting to shine through? And it starts to shine through in your walk. And in your obedience, in your compliance, in your obeying the Word of God. And this is what the Lord is expecting for the believer. And so he wants the believer to know. So he says, hereby we do know that we know him. Or in our passage, 1 John 5:13, that these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. This is a great blessing to know that you have eternal life. And it can be a blessing that's maintained so that believers don't go through their whole life saying, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I just don't know if I'm saved or not. You can know, even though you've got a condemning heart, even though you've got an old nature, you can know that you have eternal life. And this is what the Lord wants the believer to have. But it has to do with us self-examining ourselves. So how do we line up? So first of all, then, do we line up with obeying the Word of God? Obeying it to the extent that we know it. Now, here in our church, we go in great depth, and we're dealing with a lot of different subjects and so on. So you folks get enlightened about further truth. And every time we learn more truth, that means we've got greater responsibility for greater light. And yet, whatever the light is, we need to respond to it properly and grow in it. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we praise thee for the privilege to open this scripture. We pray that your Spirit will help us understand these truths, and each one here may know that they have eternal life. Each one that's saved, those that are not, that you'll work in their hearts and bring them to a convicting realization of a need for a Savior. Pray you show bless. In the Lord's Supper time now, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.